We are listener supported. One Radio Network. OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, we said often you just can't make that kind of stuff up, and what a great hour with this doc and all these experiences that people have. Maybe we'll ask you to come in with your story, some of your kind of quote coincidences, unquote, tomorrow when we do open phones. How about that? That might be fun. You'll maybe think about those and come on in and join us tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It is June 15th, 2017, OneRadioNetwork.com. On the line now are two folks. We have spoken with Dr. Harvey Beagleson before, but not his son, Adam. Gentlemen, do we have you there?
Yes, we do.
Dr. Beagleson and Adam Beagleson, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, get you real close there. Get you real cozy to that speakerphone. Dr. Beagleson, what you doing? Are you behaving yourself?
Well, it depends if you're the government or the system. Otherwise, yes, I think I'm behaving myself.
And where are you living now?
We're living in Northern California, about an hour out of Sacramento, and I'm doing consulting work because they don't let me cure people. They're not allowed to do that in this country.
Yeah, tell folks just a short story on how you got yourself into a little bit of trouble with the gov, the one we love.
Well, my trouble was first Arizona and then the U.S., Arizona, I authored the homeopathic law in Arizona. And so I allowed treatments from around the world be brought into Arizona. Well, the Arizona Medical Board tried to take my license away. I was actually convicted of illegible handwriting and put on probation for lifetime on that one. I was convicted of curing a person illegally. Where the head doctor said, we don't care if your patients get better or worse, we only care if you do the work us away scientifically. When I won those cases, then next thing the feds came after me. And I saw something happen with you. This is where the feds came after me and signed me up for Medicare. Then I was subjected to a random audit. First, they came back and they said my procedures don't fit their codes. Two years later, I got a random audit where they, quote, randomly picked 28 cases out of my 5,000 files. Those 28 cases involved chelation therapy. Huh. The only 28 cases on the 5,000 files is a guy that worked in my office 3 months. Those were his cases. So basically, the only 28 cases out of my 5,000 files, they randomly picked. They randomly got 22 other chelation practitioners that year, and I ended up with that whole thing of being convicted after 2 years of investigation of $3,500 worth of Medicare fraud, and my business with six practitioners, 20 staff, did about $1.5 million at that time.
Wow.
And at the same time, Senator Bill Frist got a $1.7 billion Medicare fraud misdemeanor. So, I've been out, but now, now I'm consulting. I cannot treat people, but I can get slides sent, and I can tell people what's wrong with them.
Oh, cool!
Why they're ill, and they can,
Oh, cool! So you can do that, even though you're an MD, you're not really practicing medicine.
Right. And what I'm doing is the other doctors, people asking me what the problems is here or there, I find the problems and I work with their other doctors.
I see. Adam Beagleson, the son, how are you involved in the work now?
Good question. Well, the most the last thing that went on with our most recent clinic was a few years ago. Dad did a radio show with George Norrie, and he was talking about dentists and how much the teeth are related to the rest of the body. There was one dentist who didn't really like what he heard in town near us locally, who proceeded to call the medical board repeatedly on Dad until our most recent clinic got shut down. He got raided during business hours, took the microscopes and all that stuff.
Oh, boy.
Eventually, court case, Dad, they lost their house. Microscopes and everything went to the medical board, even though the medical board supposedly had nothing to do with our case.
Yeah.
In the end, we had to pay a fine, which we actually wrote the check out to the medical board. Had to pick up our microscopes from the medical board. And in the end, Dad, what was the result? They, out of all the charges, they got you on...
They only dropped everything. The only charge, and the judge really threw out a lot of the case, and the only charge was that I was using the title doctor, saying I'm treating people, which was a lot of baloney on that.
False advertising is what they said.
Yeah.
So what happened was, you know, there was a point in time where Dad gave up his license. But during that case, the prosecutor said, Mr. Beagleson, and the judge at that point said, no, it's an educational title, doctor. You call him Dr. Beagleson.
Oh.
That judge actually went on to become a federal judge. But in California, they decided that they didn't care about that and that Dad can't call himself doctor and discuss health medicine at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he can call himself Mr. Beagleson and discuss health, but Dad's not into that. He's fought for his title. So, you know, Dad, he's a fighter. But so in the end, we clinic got shut down, and I kind of kicked things into high gear. I set up our private association and changed gears, so we now educate. So at this point, people can join our association, and Dad does educational consultations.
Okay.
My brother and I have actually been traveling with the microscope and lecturing, which has been a lot of fun. We're interested in going any place we can get 10 to 15 people together because we want to spread the knowledge. You know, the idea at this point is to educate and empower people to help them take charge of their own health care.
Sure,
So we can, you know, take a look at someone's blood and educate them as to what we see and then educate them as to modalities that can help them. Ideally, people do their homework and see their acupuncturist or their naturopath or their body worker, and then they can come back to us, and we can look at their blood again to monitor the progress.
So, Dr. Beagleson, the blood is a kind of a moving target. For example, say if I was having some real stomach distress or something, I took the blood, you looked at it, and then 3 or 4 days later, that stomach was gone. Would that blood change in that 3 days?
Oh, definitely.
It would.
The blood tells you what's going on at the moment. You know, if you got into a real problem when 10 years old and never got over it, that still would be in the blood. You know, I have that book out there, The Holographic Blood. I'm actually going to change the name to what I believe the soul is in the blood.
Yes, now you're talking.
Okay,
yeah,
and that,
like that
is the Jewish Bible, the Torah, talks about the soul is in the blood.
It's interesting. The blood is the only thing in the body that communicates with every part of the body. And as it's liquid, it's the best conductor of vibration there is. So it picks up the vibration of everything that's going on. In the body, each organ and everything vibrates at its own frequency, and there's this wonderful symphony that happens. But if anything in the body is out of balance, it creates a frequency that shouldn't be there, which creates a disturbance field, a focal disturbance. And that's what we see in the blood. Those are the holograms. And we see it real time. So recently, we had someone, we looked at the blood, they had an intestinal issue. The acupuncturist worked on the issue. And as soon as the acupuncture treatment was over, we looked at the blood again and saw a change in the blood immediately.
Wow. So, Dr. Beagleson, explain this idea, holographic thing. I know I get it on a broad level, but I can't put it into words. I'm sure you can.
Well, yeah, took me years and years to believe it. I had a German teacher showed it to me, and it's amazing. By the way, Edgar Cayce, America's most prolific psychic, said the physician of the future from one drop of blood will diagnose the condition in the entire physical body.
Did he now?
Yes, he did. That was predicted in the 1930s, which was very fast. He also talked about on cases, which I learned, every case that he talked about, like an asthma case, he also talked about the structure of the body.
Hmm.
So I found that very, very important, and I got involved in that. With the Cayce stuff. The work still, frankly, overwhelms me. I get so excited looking at every slide because everyone's different. And the pictures in the slide, if you're a pregnant woman, you can go to my website and see it. You'll see the fetuses in the slide. Now, how they got there is a trip because only one red cell gets through at a capillary time, and you got pictures that are much bigger than that. It's amazing, the whole thing. Like I said, it took me years to believe it. Now you give me a drop of blood, I'll tell you what happened at the age of 10 or 15 and why you only work on 4 or 5 cylinders, et cetera. You know, it's very obvious.
And it's interesting, as Dad says, he takes blood from a capillary, so only one red cell fit through at a time. Yeah, the images you're seeing on the microscope there are definitely bigger than one red cell. The reality is if that had come out of your capillary, you'd have a stroke. So those things are physically not there. But the way a hologram is made is you have a beam that is split. Like when people are making a hologram, those little pictures, they take a laser, they split the beam, and there's an object. If you're going to make a hologram of an apple, let's say, the beam is split. Part of the beam is at the front of the apple. Part goes to the other side. And there's a place where the beam crosses and creates an interference field. And in the body, that's exactly what we're seeing, is the interference field in the body. The way our microscope works is the light doesn't go straight through the slide, it bounces off the side, so we're splitting the beam. So that's how we're able to actually see these holograms. If you do the light straight through the slide, none of these holograms are visible.
Say that again. Now, if you do the...
If the light goes straight through the blood slide,
right,
then none of these holograms are visible.
So you're looking at it in a very special way that dark field microscopy and other blood people don't.
Yes.
Yes.
And our microscope, you know, dark field, the term is owned by the Center for Disease Control. So we actually use a, we own a high definition microscope with a non-light source.
By the way, you know, in 100 years, the medical establishment has never looked at a drop of blood live. They stain it, it kills it, fix it for immortality. And the little things that really move in the blood, when I first saw it, it changed my life. No name for them in American literature. They're things that are moving the blood. And the guy that showed it to me was a biological man in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And these little guys, it blew my mind when I saw these little guys moving in the blood.
Hmm.
And he said they carry the life force. And watch this. He actually cultured them on an agar plate, took some dead rat muscle, injected it into the dead rat muscle, and 30 years later, that rat muscle is beating in a jar.
What?
Still alive.
Wow. How do you explain that?
Dr. Frankenstein is alive.
Dr. Frankenstein. So this life force just is.
Yes.
Yes,
these things, they're called sympatites, symbionts, microzymas. There's no name for them in Western medicine. Plato had names for them.
Uh-huh.
And these things are existing in all things, plant, animal, mineral, human. They are existing with us as we live. They help us create who we are. When we die, they help us decompose.
Hmm.
This is pure, pure, pure life.
Pure life. It would be, you know, on a basic level, the light and sound or divine spirit or whatever you want to call it. It just is.
You want to call it.
It's everywhere.
And again, medicine has never seen that, and there's no name for it in American literature.
How do you all look at blood now? As a consultant long distance, I mean, because I'm thinking the term live, if you stain it and somebody lives in Seattle, how does that work?
Number one, we don't stain it.
Okay, you don't stain it.
Okay, you don't stain it because stain it kills it. And, you know, if you're, you know, basically if you're 90 years old, your blood may not live for 24 hours, but I'll still see things. But most bloods live 2, 3, 4 days on the slide. They slowly dry up. So usually when I get the slide in 24 hours, probably half the slide is still alive, but you can see all of these other pictures in the slide.
So we actually send out slide kits. We've sent to the world. You stick your finger and put the blood on the slide. You get it back to us within 24 hours, and then we can read that slide. We've also got something set up that we've done recently, which is really exciting for me as I'm helping to teach this work. We have set up the microscopes with Skype, and we have some students, as we've done some training courses. This past year, we had a client wanted to come see us from England and couldn't afford to get to us, but we actually have a student in England with a microscope. So we sent our client to that student. The student puts the blood under the microscope, and we pull it up with Skype. So we're actually reading the blood real time from England.
Wow. Doc, so you get a clear enough pictures, even through Skype, just to see what you want to see?
Oh, yeah, yes. It's amazing what's in the blood. You know, and I think I'd mentioned one of my favorite things, looking for a pregnant woman, and you can see the fetus in the blood, and it will match the sonogram, too.
And one thing, Patrick, that we just connected with someone in San Diego, and this is part of where I come in. I'm the behind-the-scenes guy with
sure.
the database. And all that stuff.
All this stuff.
There's a guy we're talking to is actually about to be working on a remote-controlled microscope for us. So we can put microscopes everywhere and control the whole microscope from wherever we're at.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is future wellness is what we're talking
about.
That's
cool. Good for you. It is Dr. Harvey Beagleson and his son Adam Beagleson. His website, this would be the main one to send folks, is Beagleson.com, right?
The Beagleson Method is our newest one.
Okay.
If you go to Beagleson.com, it'll forward that to that website.
Beagleson. Oh, I see. I did. And Oh, enter Beagleson Method. I see there's a click here. So we got to do that one. It's not. Oh, here it is. Okay. I see the. So the Beagleson Method is the main one. We'll put that one on the show page. Holographic blood
Great.
Images. Wow. This is so cool. If you'd like to ask a question, a comment, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Wow. Whoa. I just look at this picture here. There's a picture of a fetus. It looks like a baby.
Yes. It's amazing, isn't it?
Wow, man. Go.
We have pictures that match sonograms. We have pictures that match x-rays. Western medicine says that's just a drop of dirt on the slide, by the way.
Yeah. So, Dr. Beagleson, you can actually see... Can you see subluxations or somebody's atlas is out by the on,
oh,
the,
yes,
on the blood?
Oh, yes, without question.
That's amazing.
Whatever the problem is, it is there. If the body's working on structure, it is there. The exact picture there, it's actually mind-boggling in there. Whatever the body's concerned about is in there.
So let's see. So this
I'll
would
tell you something interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Too. Something we see a lot, we've seen it recently a bunch, which is really cool, is you don't always see in the blood what you would expect to see. So someone came to us recently with a heart condition.
Yeah.
This person's been everywhere. All these doctors can't figure out what the problem is. As we looked at the blood, we did not see the heart at all. What we saw was structure. The person's body was out of alignment, and it was putting pressure on the heart.
Oh, similar to what we've learned with like the atlas or something like that, where it's pressing on the nerve.
Right, right. And, you know, the heart does one thing. It's a glamour organ. But the diaphragm, the lungs, and the chest wall all act like a pump.
Yeah.
If you get the pump working good, the heart's relaxed.
Yeah, so the problem is not the heart. What we see is we see what the body is concerned about. Most of the time what people are dealing with is the result. So the heart was the result. The structure was the issue. We send that
right.
person to a... osteopath, and all of a sudden their heart problem's gone.
So the idea that we've interviewed Dr. Cowan, where he talks about the heart is not a pump, that the whole body's doing the pumping.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
There's diaphragms, the cranial sacral pump.
Wow.
There's five diaphragms in the body. The whole body's expanding, contracting 8 to 10 times a minute.
All the time.
Scars like that and stuff like that.
Can
people, you know, you fall on your butt, and not a big deal, but that can jam your sacral pump.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people these days get headaches and brain fog and things like that. Cerebral spinal fluid moves up the spinal column in a very small amount. So if your pump is compromised and you're not getting the amount of spinal fluid that you need, you're going to get a little bit of brain fog. You're going to get some headaches and things like that.
So are there some some really good structured people around that people can find to look at this part that even many of the natural people don't even look at, the whole structure thing?
Well, what I try to find is a classical osteopath. Osteopaths are structural people, but a lot of them do medicine. There are people that just do straight osteopathy.
Yes.
They are very, very good. I do work with some chiropractors also. The osteopaths can treat the scars for me, though the chiropractors can't, but structure is a king. The greatest line in American medical history was by the founder of osteopathy, Andrew Taylor Still. Disease cannot exist where there are no obstructions.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And if you think about your body like a car, you can put all the good gas in your car you want, but if the car is out of alignment, it's going to drive off center. So for us, structure is a big, big deal. It's the supportive framework for the energetic flow of the body.
We had a great osteopath on just a couple days ago, coincidental, if you believe in coincidences, but I don't, Dr. Grasso out of Chicago. And or this traditional osteopathy like you're talking about, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Oh yeah, and I looked at that show, yes.
Did you?
That's really cool. Traditional osteopathy is great. I mean, like, structure is king.
And, you know, you take your car to get it aligned once a year. When was the last time most people have taken their body to get it aligned?
Yeah.
I look at the body as a car built by God. It's holy over there. Get your darn hands off of it. Keep it aligned in that way. Surgery is... They talk about food causes inflammation. No, surgery is a stab with a knife. You never get over it. It pulls on the diaphragms, pulls on everything. It's a real mess. And one of the first things I do with people is I find out where their scars are. And as we treat them and then do osteopathic work, open them up, man, their life starts to return to normal.
We've had people...
We all have...
Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
We all have one scar. You know what that scar is?
Let's see. Circumcision?
Oh, close. Women don't have that one. we all have the belly button. The belly button's our first scar in life. Mm-hmm. And, Dad, you want to talk about the belly button?
Yeah, the belly button, too, is very, very interesting. It's tied up to the diaphragm. And now the animal gives birth, eats the placenta, and leaves a whole stalk.
Mm-hmm.
We cut it nice and tight for mommy. It's real... You know, so it looks pretty. Well, what happens, though, is as we start to get in our teenage years, the scars are contracting, or as they contract and get tighter, the diaphragm can't expand and contract all the way, and when the diaphragm contracts, it squeezes the bile out of the liver. If it can't squeeze the bile out of the liver backs up, and you get mononucleosis. That's what it is. Mononucleosis is caused by tying the belly button off too tight.
Whoa.
We should be outies until late teens, early 20s, and then become innies. Right now, I would say 90% of my patients are innies. So to me, doctors start off from minute one, damaging the body.
I think innie is the medical term, innie, by the way.
Yeah, so they try to make things look real neat. So in a natural way, what you would do... deliver the baby and just let that core just cut it way out there and just let it fall off.
That's exactly right.
Midwives are doing that these days. Yeah. They leave about 3 to 4 inches on there.
Just let it fall off.
It really makes a huge difference. If you think about it, it's like a drawstring. So the doctor's pulling the umbilical cord,
mm-hmm.
It pulls on the diaphragm, and then that scar is dead tissue. So as you grow up, it's just going to keep pulling towards that scar. So most people can't take a good, real deep breath. Most people can't stand up straight and put their shoulders back. And as we get older and hunch down and forward, this is the reason. It's because of the belly button. When we had the clinic open, we would do the belly button injections, just a little bit of procaine into the belly button to relax and release the scar. And all of a sudden, people can stand up straighter and get a deeper breath.
Do you just do a shot right in the belly button, procaine? And what kind of docs know how to do this?
Yeah, that's procaine. Actually, they legalized procaine. It's been around since the 30s. There's no damage, but I think they're after that. So you can use Novocaine or Xylocaine, but they have a little liver effect on it. Basically, you're really trigger pointing and loosening the area so the area can now open up.
And naturopaths, people that do neural therapy will do that a lot. There's some osteopaths that will do that treatment.
But
naturopaths will do that treatment as well.
But, Doc, you can see the tight belly button thing in the blood.
Oh, yes, without question. It's very obvious. The blood, it blows me away. It took me years to believe it. I don't know where my teacher learned it. But now, I mean, I love looking at the blood and figuring out the problem. Like the things that are going on, Lyme disease. We have an epidemic of Lyme disease. Okay, so I see a lot of the patients. I had a group of 9 Lyme disease people came into me, and 8 of them on the history form had major surgery, had major dental work or surgery within 2 years of their diagnosis. When I treated those areas, the disease disappeared. To me, they talk about an epidemic of ticks. I don't believe it's caused by a tick. I think we have an epidemic of surgeons.
So okay, explain the migration from dental surgery to what's being called Lyme, but it's not really.
It's surgery is a block. It forms scars, plain and simple. Dental surgery, one of the biggest problems with dental surgery is more than a blockage in Lyme disease. The roof of the mouth is the base to the temple. If you go into a nursing home, you'll see people in their 70s with their teeth on the cupboard. Meet a person in the 90s, you'll see a full mouth. Very, very important. The roof of the mouth is the base of the temple, okay? And if you can keep that mouth wide, you're really not going to get Alzheimer's.
And with the mouth, there's a few things. You know, with the teeth themselves, all of the acupuncture meridians run through the teeth. So if you have different issues with different teeth, you look at the acupuncture meridian chart. We've seen that all the time.
Yes.
You know, there was a doctor that did studies with breast cancer, and 90% of the women in the study had an issue with the same tooth. And they actually put lidocaine in that area, and the lidocaine went straight through the tumor. So the teeth themselves are a big issue. And then as Dad talks about, the mouth is the roof of the temple, the suction. Talk about the cranial pump there. When you swallow.
Yeah. When you swallow, actually, you know, the tailbone, the cranial sacral fluid, medicine believes is just a cushion. No, it's actually nourishment for the nerves. The tailbone pumps 8 to 10 times a minute, pumping the fluid up the canal. Now, every time you swallow, you make a vacuum, and it pulls it up further. The fluid gets into the skull. The skull has 22 bones. The bones expand. Pressure comes too great, and it contracts. And that system is feeding the whole nervous system. And American medicine thinks the cerebral spinal fluid is a cushion, but if you put dye into it, it'll actually come out in every nerve in the fingers and every nerve in the body. No, it's the nutrition for the nerves, which is very important. Mm.
So
the mouth is... Go ahead.
Okay. We've had so many shows over the years, gentlemen, about the dental issues, of course, root canals and cavitations. So how do you... Do you have to then, if you do get a root canal taken out, which we recommend... or a cavitation, and these are pretty bad things, you know. These are, I guess they're minor surgeries. Do you have to clean up after those?
Yes, and they are not major surgeries. And one of the interesting things about the pockets and the cavitations in the mouth, which most dentists don't see the cavitation, as the pus gets out further, it makes these holes in the bones.
Yeah.
Chronic lymphatic leukemia is a result of cavitations in the mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, there is no blood circulation to bones, so you got this infection in there. The body keeps on trying to throw out cells to heal it. Eventually, it's not healing it, so the bone marrow keeps on putting out younger and younger cells.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cause of chronic lymphatic leukemia.
Yeah, we see this a lot, as what happens... We look in the blood and we can look at the Sympratite activity and see if your body is working too hard or not hard enough. Most of the time, people are working, their bodies are working too hard. When you've got something in the mouth that's sealed in there, the body's still going to try to work on it. So it gets overloaded. This is where chronic fatigue happens as well.
Mm-hmm.
The body's going to keep trying to fix something that's wrong no matter what's going on. And if it can't get to it, it just starts to run down. That's one of the things we've seen with some of the Lyme cases and things like that. There's all these little things that happen to us in life, and eventually the straw that broke the camel's back comes along. So, you know, we do things, we get weak, we bump our head, we're a little weak. Emotions are a big deal.
Yeah,
our whole experience is really about Rudolf Steiner's four bodies: the physical body, the energetic body, emotional body, and spiritual body. And if anything is out of balance in any one of those, it affects all of the other ones.
Yeah.
So if your emotions are off and your physical is off, and next thing you know something happens, then maybe you have Lyme disease.
I get the spiritual, emotional. What's the difference in Steiner's view of the energetic and the spiritual?
Energetic is physical. You have your minerals. Energetic is where the plants come in.
Okay.
So after that, emotions is where animals come in, and then the spiritual is where we come into the picture.
I see. Can you guys stay right there? We're going to take a little break. Harvey Beagleson, Adam Beagleson. Wow, is it fascinating? Isn't it cool work? Their website is the BeaglesonMethod.com, and I suspect, and we'll find out for sure, but I sure get the idea that you could do this work no matter where you live. And man, really fun. I want to do it again. I did it years ago, Dr. Beagleson. I want to do it some more. I'm gonna set it up. If you'd like to try some of our products, we're really excited about the things that we have accumulated over the years. I mean, I'm very, very particular, as you know. We just take on a few products, a few people, and then we work with those. And we don't, you know, we don't have a whole bunch. Now we have some cool items in our store, but on the ones on the front page, whether you're talking about the grass-fed One World Way or Sir Thrival organization, where they have the pine pollen, the colostrum, the shaga and the reishi in Myron glass, grape alcohol. I mean, you know, this stuff is just out of control cool. If you're interested in Chinese medicine, there's a company that I know, Brandon Amalani. He used to work for Daniel, and Brandon is a really interesting man. And you talk about doing things in a way that'll just like over the top, you know, like over the top good. Maybe 50-year-old premium grade ginseng extract that's done a traditional way with sake. And they don't even, it's so sacred the way they make it with some of the Chinese docs, they're not even allowed to talk about it. You know, these kind of products, I mean, this is where if you're going to spend your money on ginseng or something, or medicinal mushroom formulas like Daniel's or this one, or reishi or shizandra or goji berries, you know, go for it. Get the very best, get the beyond organic kind of things, so you know your dollars are going, you're using them wisely. And I tell you, this shizandra and the shen blossom, this is where you're going to find these kinds of things. Also, we've come across over the last few months Gary Hanna. He is in Austin. He brought his son home from a tragic automobile accident. He had MRSA, basically said, you know, boom, take him home. We don't know what to do with him. And he just quit his job and said, I got to keep my kid alive, and started looking into matters. And really, his son started getting better after getting him on some different clays that he put together. He has some amazing clays, just really cool. And then his flagship are the monoatomic elements, are the silvers, the gold, silver, gold, copper. He has selenium, magnesium. These are very, 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 very small, way smaller than nano. We think there's a lot of issues with this nanotechnology. We're being told more and more most of the stuff out there is nano, and we don't recommend it. This is monoatomic particles, 99.999% pure. You can get some of these parts per million, 750 parts per million. Look it on Amazon, and most of them are 50 or 100. I have one colloidal silver or in monatomic form, 6,000 parts per million. You don't really need that high. You can dilute the pants off of it. So this is what we're after. We're doing really, really cool things, cool people. We appreciate your supporting our vendors, you know, the people that we have, all of our folks. Really do appreciate you supporting them, and that's how we make our living. And we get a little bit of a commission on everything. The seed oils, by Andreas seed oils, with no oxidation, if you can imagine that, or 0.003 oxidation. He can squish these oils of hemp or coriander, or a cumin, black cumin seed, black sesame seed, sunflower seed. He squishes them up, and the seeds don't even get into the oil. He's a German fellow, and you know how they are. And the last one they had tested is 0.003 for the flax and zero oxidation for the cumin. I mean, you just can't find oils that aren't oxidized, also in Myron Glass. Dr. Beagleson mentioned Edgar Cayce. We have the real, no kidding, no fooling around, Edgar Cayce iodine. Phil Thomas knows much more about Edgar Cayce's work than anybody on the planet, I think. And he's got the real deal, atomized Edgar Cayce iodine, if you want to do it. So we got some cool people, and we appreciate your ongoing support of the products that we support and recommend.
Know the source. The source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even have the thing ready. We're just going to go right to the thing because I got so excited with talking to the Beaglesons here. I didn't even have the music ready, man. Well, that's okay. We'll just go back. Harvey and Adam Beagleson. Oh, I have so many questions for you guys. Okay, so let's see. So
well, let me tell you about the work that I've been into recently.
All right.
In the past couple of years, I got into stem cells.
Uh-huh.
I think they are the future. There are companies in France and Germany that make pig and sheep stem cells that you drink. And you know, I had someone with a regular heartbeat, and you took the heart cells, and bam, the heart normalized out.
Really?
Yes. Stem cells, I believe, are the future. That's a real key to the show. And like I said, they have drinkable ones now, which is great.
But don't we want our own stem cells? Or you order something from France, aren't you getting somebody else's stem cells?
You're getting pig stem cells, and pig and humans have a very close genetics, and there's no negative reaction to it.
Really?
Yes.
We've seen a lot of different types of stem cells. You know, we've worked closely with a few clinics in Mexico mm-hmm. that are doing some really amazing things. And the biggest thing we've noticed with the stem cells, though, is the first thing that needs to be done is the blocks in the body need to be opened up.
Yeah.
So the stem cells can really do the work they need to do. You know, a lot of times stem cells are not cheap, and people will go to get the stem cells, and 6 months later they need to go do it again.
Yeah.
Because they're just having them administered, and that's it. Mm. The place we worked at in Mexico when we were doing it, you would come down and be there for a week. So we're looking at the blood, we're finding your structural issues, and we're aligning the body, we're finding energetic issues, we're balancing that, and then we're getting the stem cells. But we've seen a lot of different types. We've seen the ones they culture from your fat, the ones they take from your bone marrow. We've had people go to India and get them injected into their spine. All different types of them. But if the body is not open and ready to really receive it, they really can't do what they need to do.
It really makes sense. We talked with the surgeon. He was on the show talking about his concern about all these different drugs. He's a traditional guy, too. I mean, he's not one of our, you know, natural guys like we are. But he was cool, and he was really talking about, he was concerned about these drugs. And so I was, he was also a dentist, and he did a lot of work on the jaw. And I was questioning him about what he did, but he was saying that they're having amazing results with, when they're having to cut a tumor out that they do, you know, in the face in traditional medicine, and using the stem cells from other parts of their body, and the whole jaw thing just starts to rebuild, and they don't have to put plates in there. And this is some big fancy hospital. So these people are on it too in this country. Yeah, they're getting
amazing.
On.
Amazing. You know, the only question is, if you're removing a tumor of sorts, our concern is, why was the tumor there in the first place?
Of course,
because, you know, things like that. With the whole cancer thing, we look at it like mold. And if you have some moldy cream cheese, you cut out that one piece of mold, and the next day you got mold all over the place.
Yeah, it's really a problem, isn't it? Can you all see possible, like, breast cancers possibly forming 10 years from now? Can you see it in the blood today?
You can see the tendency in it.
Yes.
You can see the normal pH of the venous blood is 7.4. The average cancer case is 7.55, 7.57 in that area. And there's ways that you can see that type of thing in the blood. The way the blood dries, you can start to see that. So you know they're precancer. And there's ways that you can work to change their emotions, to change their habits, so the cancer won't come.
Mm-hmm. The blood dies, we die one of three ways, which is cancerous death, arthritic death,
and heart disease.
And
heart disease, strokes.
Heart disease. Arthritis is the natural cause. That's your body just getting older. So we can look and see how the blood dies and see basically what you're predisposed to. But nothing is set in stone.
Sure.
You know, the thing is, we said with cancer, we look at it like a mold. You know, emotions are such a big deal.
Yeah.
Just don't care. You know, you're angry and acidity happens and it changes pH. You know, the reality is these days, people need to be balanced and they need to be conscious of themselves. You know, as you have some great products on your site, there are people that are going to find these products and it's going to do great things for them. They're going to go run and tell everybody, but because it works for them, doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody.
Right, right. So let's talk about this structure, because there's so little really quality, I think, information about how to get these structures. I mean, I got a great body work guy. I'm so blessed and have somebody, you know, look at my axis and, you know, atlas rather. But most chiropractors out there that are listeners around the world that are exposed to, they don't really understand it. I mean, getting your neck crunched once a week, that's not doing much, is it?
No, not really. First of all, bones don't move, muscles and ligaments move.
Right, right.
So I find osteopaths usually release the muscle and ligaments. I find it better. I don't have a great problem with chiropractors, especially ones that don't need x-rays because they can feel the darn show.
Sure.
Structure is the king. And I think everyone should do structural work. And the biggest problem with structure is, first of all, yoga is very good, Tai Chi is very good,
Qigong.
Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem with structure is a knife wound. You know, that's what surgery is. You know, if you did a hysterectomy on a woman in a, behind 7-Eleven, she knows she has a problem. But doing it in the OR, they don't think you have a problem.
Well, and what he means with structure in the surgeries, too, is when you get... when something happens, you get some surgery, and the next thing you know, you've got a scar from the surgery.
Right.
So let's say you've got abdominal surgery. And typically people, a lot of women have surgery in that area, and a lot of those women have lower back problems because the scar is actually pulling, and it's pulling on the back. So we've actually done things with people with lower back problems by treating their scars. The biggest thing I think with structure and with all this stuff is it's all interconnected. So, like, for chiropractors, osteopaths, do they really understand how much they affect so much of the body? For us to look at a drop of blood and have someone do a physical manipulation on someone and then see the blood afterwards, you're changing a lot of stuff there.
Do you think the go-to place for listeners is try to find a traditional osteopath?
I think that would be very important.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they can find, and naturopaths do it more than others, see if they can find someone doing neural therapy.
Neural therapy.
That's where you treat the scars and nerve points. That and a classical osteopath is great work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone that releases the scars and then physically manipulates the body.
And the scars should be released every 3 to 6 months. The scars are always contracting. How big a problem is depends on how many times you release it. But very, very, very important. You know, to me... you know, a knife wound to the belly is, you never get over it.
Doctor,
and for us, I was going to say, scars are such a big deal.
Yeah.
When we had the clinic open, we would do the neural therapy directly in the scars. So we would inject procaine, which breaks down into 2 B vitamins into the scar. It would start to release the scar and open it up. Since we don't have the clinic open, my sister is just received her doctorate in acupuncture, and she's starting to work with acupuncture with scar therapy.
Oh.
We've also seen a few lasers that we're starting to experiment with and see how that works.
I see.
I know that people have been rubbing coconut oil on scars as well.
Do you think it helps?
Yeah, it does. You know, you got to do it regularly, for sure. And it also depends on how big and bad the scar is, basically.
The late Doc Marshall, he's gone by now, a really cool guy out of Austin. He used to talk a lot about if you can do some special clays with some different materials that it can... get rid of the biofilms and according to kinesiology that they release some of the energy in the scars. So I guess there's work you can do on the outer to do it. If you Because getting procaine every 6 months, that doesn't seem like the best thing, is it, or the reasonable thing?
Procaine is just B vitamins.
Oh, is it? Oh.
So that's not a bad thing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then, you know, I have people do pranayama, the yoga. Things start to open the areas, but scars need to be treated, depending on each person, 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing with scars, too, is, you know, as we talk about structure and emotion, a lot of times something happens to a person and, emotional components get locked physically into the body. So we had a woman who had a little teeny scar on her foot, and a dad had worked with her at the clinic for some time, and there was still something they couldn't quite get through. And this teeny little scar came up, and it turned out that when she was 7 years old, she stepped on a rusty nail. Her parents took her to the doctor. They held her down while the doctor gave her a shot. She felt like she had done something wrong, and her parents weren't there for her. It was a severe emotional trauma for this woman around this whole scar. So the emotion got physically locked in the scar.
Yeah.
We treated the scar, the emotion comes out, and all of a sudden the physical aspect gets better. This is why a lot of people go to body workers, and as they're getting a massage, they start to cry on the table. The body worker is physically releasing the emotional trauma.
Yeah, I've had that experience when I was working with some sciatica a year or so ago, and I saw stuff going on in my childhood. This guy was so good. I was digging in and breathing, and oh, man, it was a trip. I did. I just saw things talking to my uncle or something or my dad when I was like 10 years old. Now, that's crazy.
It's really wild. And, you know, the emotional thing, it's locked in there. You know, we want to release these emotions, and you go to therapists for years and you keep talking about it and bringing it to the surface, but if it's physically locked in, the emotion's not going to release until you actually get some body work.
Dr. Beagleson, how can you explain, let me
I'm going to put this on hold. Kind of, hold on a second. I got to,
okay.
Talk to us here so we can, like we're a golden retriever. That's what we like to say around here. Please talk to us like we're a young child or a golden retriever. Body, mind, soul, obviously, I think are one, or just one thing. But how is it, but if we release it on the spiritual level, I mean, it's got to come out on the physical, doesn't it?
Yes, if you're holding things in, you can pray to let it go. But then you have to physically get it out.
So you also, there's some residue, because we're dealing with time and space here below the soul plane, that there's still some time differential, and you can help get it out that way.
And when I see the blood, you can see people, the liver, every organ's got an emotion. The liver is anger. The gallbladder is rage.
Sure.
The kidneys are fear.
Lungs are grief.
Yeah, the lungs are grief. They cry. You know, so you got to get the organ. It's very important. And if holding emotions in is no good, because it shuts it down. So whatever the emotion is, we track it to the organ, and then we open that organ up is the real key on that.
I had a pneumonia episode a year or so ago after the clinic was shut down. And
mm-hmm.
Did some good stuff, and it was funny because sometimes things are so close. We say these things all the time, but do we hear what we're actually saying?
Right.
So at one point, someone said, grief? And I said, duh. So I wrote a letter that I needed to write. I talked to someone and, you know, let out what I needed to let out, and emotionally, and then the pneumonia started to get better.
Started to get better.
It wouldn't release because I was holding on to this grief.
Yeah, yeah. Here's an email from Lynn. She's in Switzerland. I was told in my 20s that I had heart murmur. I saw a friend's husband, a Cuban-trained heart surgeon, who attributed the murmur sound to resonance, as I have a very high Gothic-like roof of the mouth. Then I checked out other people, and theirs was low indeed. What is the significance of benefits or detriments of the difference in these structures of the mouth?
Structure of the mouth, again, I said, is really important, because the mouth is the base of the temple. If that structure is small, the brain is not functioning the way it should, okay? And then the nervous system is not functioning the way it should. The brain, the mouth is major. The eyes and the brain needs to see everything at level. If you have a tooth cut out, your head would tilt. actually the brain makes the neck muscles and the back muscles help straighten it out. You'll see most people with a tilted head, okay, and that comes from dental work, pulling things out over there. And, and that'll start to cause further problems. So I have patients, if they go to a dentist, we replace it as fast as possible. They take a tooth out, replace it as fast as possible, and put a temporary in there. Then they come do the structure work, and they don't have that problem.
So, we've seen a lot of things where, you know, as people are missing teeth, the wisdom teeth, you know, we haven't had for years. But if teeth are taken out and not replaced, that's when the structure becomes compromised. People's mouth gets smaller, and we have more and more issues. And we've actually found someone in Washington area that's a dentist who's working with a cranial sacral person in the office who's doing exercises with the people to help widen their mouth.
Exercises? Really
and this is a new one for us. We're just finding out more about this. But with the woman that wrote the email, so her mouth is wider on top. You know, our thing is everyone is different, and you don't want to just start adjusting structure. So if someone came to us, Dad, and the roof of the mouth was wide like that, we wouldn't tell them to ever fix that, would we? I mean,
no, well, there's just a few dentists know how to fix it. Sometimes it's important. In fact, you know, the dentist I went to in Vancouver, he actually widened my mouth 5 millimeters horizontally, 2 millimeters vertically, the way he did it. Worked on my neck, my muscles, and stuff like that. Before I went to see him, I couldn't sing. I was a joke. They wouldn't let me sing at my graduation in high school and stuff like that. Now I can sing.
But he did it through muscles in your neck.
Muscles in my neck, and opened my mouth up, and now I can go up and down the scales.
Wow.
And aside from that, he can think clearer too, which is really nice.
Yeah.
He's getting more cerebral spinal fluid up that way.
Here's an email. Rumor has it that many of the royals and wealthy celebrities drink blood, or have intravenous transfusions from younger children to increase longevity. Is there any... could that
I've heard that.
What do you think about it? That's strange, isn't it?
Well, what do you think, Dad, as far as just transfusions from younger people? If the body is working, it's going to create good blood?
Yeah. Basically, though, it's. I think the younger blood, that may be very interesting, to tell you honestly.
People with too much money, they'll probably just want to do something rather than, you know, take the position that the body's going to figure it out and get better.
Too much money, stem cells. stem cells and structure, very, very good. One of my first stem cell cases, I saw this gal, the mother she brought in who had Alzheimer's. The mother was sitting in the waiting room. I said, wait a second. I walked out to the mother. I gave her a cc of brain material that she drinks, put it in her mouth. I went in to see the daughter. An hour later, I came out, and the mother looked at me and said, Dr. Biggleson, what am I doing here? Okay, it was that fast. Yeah. It worked on the brain.
But we also, Patrick, you know, part of our thing is we don't fix people. You know, the reason people come to us is because of things they've done to their body.
Yeah.
They've had, you know, you're the problem, basically. We do this great lecture, my brother and I, at the end. It's the Pogo cartoon that says, we have met the enemy and he is us.
Sure.
So when people come to us and they say, fix me, our thing is, no. We will show you what's going on, and we will help your body fix itself.
Well,
it doesn't matter how much money you have. Stem cells are great, depending on what's going on. But, you know, if you're not taking accountability for your health, there's only so much that we can do for you.
And I think that that's why this self-love that we can learn over the years to really love ourselves and forgive ourselves for all the dumb things we did and 20 lifetimes ago or whatever, this lifetime, if you believe in reincarnation, and to really forgive ourselves and know that we did the best we can at that point, but we can do better. That's really helpful, isn't it?
We're only human, and we're here to learn some lessons.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't learn by not making mistakes. And this is, you know, this is your life. Every day the thing is you get up and I learned this as a beginning teacher when I was teaching elementary school. The Support Academy said that you need to do something every day for 10 minutes you get joy out of. And life is about experience. Most people think, I'm going to work all week, and then at the end weekend, I can relax. What if you don't make it to the weekend? And do you know how important joy is? We can show you joy in the blood. I mean, give a kid that piece of cake that he loves and you watch the excitement. That's so healthy for you. That's healthier than the fact that it's a chocolate sugar-filled piece of cake.
Yeah.
So people need to get joy. What brings you joy? Dad does this thing. We did a blog recently, and he says to people, first off, if you could be anywhere in the world doing anything right now, what would it be? And you'd be surprised how many people can't answer that question.
Really?
And then the other thing is, take a piece of paper, and every listeners do this. Write down 10 things that bring you joy, and they can be anything. I had this revelation and epiphany recently that I could have been drinking a milkshake this whole time.
<That's right.
laughs> Milkshakes bring me joy, you know what I mean? But whatever it is, that's huge. And the car, you know, you can't leave the car out in the field. It's going to rot or rust, so you need to get up and exercise. Oxygen is a big thing. You need to breathe. Most people are so hunched over, you know, by their computer. But there's little things you can do daily to get joy and keep that body moving.
And remember, at this moment in life, is the youngest you'll ever be.
Yeah.
Okay, so use it. Use it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
How many revolutions around the sun are you, doctor? What's your age?
76.
Ah, you're just a kid.
76.
Still going.
Yeah.
Still going strong.
Still going.
Well, that's the thing. What was
still using my brain. I was going to come out with a book, A Simple Story About Medicine, and I wanted to make it a 50-page book. The story is so simple, I got 9 pages.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Ah, there
you
go.
He said, health is simple, people are complicated.
Yeah,
we make life so difficult. Yeah. And the other one is that Shawshank Redemption quote, you get busy living or you get busy dying.
I love that. I love that line. Get busy living or get busy dying. Here's an email for you, gentlemen. I've had 4 C-sections, writes Lynn, 2 total hip replacements, and a parathyroid removal. Is there any hope for me with all of these scars?
There's always hope.
There's always hope. We can definitely, if they get in touch with us, we can tell them what to do and work with, find a physician for them of how to treat those areas. We can always help those things.
And it's interesting because with the C-sections and the scars in the front, might have put some more pressure on the back and the hips, which might have contributed to the hip experience. But the reality is when we've had our clinics open, we worked with everything from AIDS to zits, and we've been able to improve quality of life with everybody. The reality is there is always hope.
Let's grab this phone call real quick. Good morning. Who's this? You're on the air?
This is Denise calling from Dallas.
Hi, Denise in Dallas. You're on the air with the Beaglesons. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm very fascinated with their work. This is my question about the scars. When I was about 2.5 years old, I got too close to an open-faced heater. My little dress caught, and I had 2 second and third degree burns over 25% of my body. I have 1 scar remaining, and I'm going to be 65. Is there, it's quite a large scar. So I just wanted to hear what the good doctor would say about that.
Well, as scars, again, you know, they should be injected with protein. Look for a naturopath that does neural therapy or someone that does neural therapy, and they will inject that. Scars, they're solid. The body is expanding and contracting. Scars pull it, and they're not good. Now, we all have scars, but that's the first thing I do when I look at patients is where has their body been damaged? This is a holy machine built by God. Where has it been damaged? The knife attack, et cetera. First thing we treat, and people walk out so noticing the difference. And you see the blood right afterwards, too. Before and afterwards, you'll see it.
And things like, you know, at this point, neural therapy is the best thing that we've seen work. But, you know, daily some coconut oil can only help. There are some osteopaths that are using those low-level lasers, the low-light
mm-hmm.
lasers.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that do some things with scars also.
Yeah.
So there's definitely things you can do. The question is, if you can get to the neural therapist, that'll be the best answer for that one. And the trigger point therapy for neural therapy, They're just very small injections, subcutaneous, just below the skin. So the person would take maybe a cc or two and basically dot your whole area with your scars. And you should actually start to feel some release. If you've got that big of a scar and it gets treated, you should definitely notice some change from the treatment. Is that right, Dad?
Yeah, right on the spot. People walk out, I can't believe the way I can move my arm. I couldn't do that before I came in.
Yeah, and with such a big scar, too, you know, to get anything that you do by this, as far as treatment is concerned, you should definitely notice some change if you've got such a big scar.
I would add to that, you know, of course, the emotional trauma of that is something else, but I do appreciate your time and your intelligence and all your wonderful work.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thanks, sweetie.
Thank you. By the way, we can also, there is remedies that we can use that will release the emotions. It's fascinating on it.
What kind of work are you doing there? Is it homeopathic?
No, these are called isopathic. They're actually live germs, like a live germ of penicillin.
Hmm.
There's no allergies to it, but if you got a pneumonia, you give that person that treatment, the pneumonia will disappear. There are other treatments that can open up circulation. Those remedies, they're made by what's called the Sanum Company.
Hmm.
Like I said, they're pieces of tissue. And what we are is, you know, all cells just put together. And this is what the ball game is. They're very fascinating to use. They're not easy to learn, but once you learn them, it's a great, great product.
Uh-huh. And who did you originally learn the holographic blood thing from, Doc?
That was very, very strange. I had a huge clinic in Arizona, 6 practitioners, 20 staff. I wrote the Arizona Homeopathic Law, so I did things from all around the world. But I heard about a doctor that was up on an Indian reservation, and I don't remember the disease that he treated, but I brought him down.
Brought him down because of my mono.
His microscope. What?
My mono.
Oh, Adam had mononucleosis.
Uh-huh.
And he took a drop of blood, looked at his microscope, treated Adam, and he had 104 temperature. You know, he was, that's it. And mono was going to go to college. You know, that's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
24 hours, he felt better. Within a week, his mono tests were negative, and he went off to college.
And I had mono so bad, I was starting to show minor signs of hepatitis, and I was a week away from going to college.
And what did he do? What did he do to help you?
Looked at my blood. He took my blood and mixed it with a remedy, shot it with a laser, told me to think happy thoughts. he did some things that I hadn't seen. And the cool thing is, My throat was so swollen, I couldn't breathe. Like, I just wanted someone to cut my throat open so I could breathe.
Wow.
And Dr. Friedrich Ploeg was this guy's name. He's since passed away. But the surreal experience was, I have my mouth wide open, and this huge 4 or 5 inch needle about to be injected into my tonsils. I have my dad on the right, the nice Jewish doctor, and Friedrich Ploeg actually flew in the Luftwaffe. He flew in Hitler's Air Force.
Wow.
So I had the ex-Nazi on one side and the Jewish doctor on the other side with this big needle saying, say ah.
What a great story.
And he injected my tonsils, injected the rest of the remedy into my buttocks, and said, you'll be fine. You can go to college. And a few days later, I was fine, and I went to college.
And
Dad said, you're coming to work in my office. Friedrich Ploeg came to work in the office, and all of a sudden, Ryan O'Neill and Farrah Fawcett were coming into our office to follow Friedrich around.
Really?
It was funny because he's a very quiet man. Dad didn't get to learn very much from him. The Berlin Wall came down, and Dr. Ploeg went back to Germany to repatriate his family. And coincidences that we don't believe in, another German physician came in, Silke Friedrich, and she did the microscope as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked with Dad for some time. And the funny thing is, we've actually hired private detectives to see where these two learned the work, and we have no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Doc, I know you...
I think a lot of it actually came from concentration camps, being real humans being experimented on.
Wow. Doc, I know that you
amazing.
Go... Well, go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
I think it's really cool and interesting that out of one of the worst things in human atrocities, that some of the best medicine in the world has come out of it.
Really?
And you have a Jewish doctor who's now taken that and run with it.
Really? Doc, I know
that German girl that showed me was amazing. I was examining a patient, and she was behind looking at the microscope. And I said something, oh, what's going on with your kidneys? And she'd look at me and shake her eyes, no. I said, how about the lungs? And she'd shake her eyes, yes. And then she turned around to the patient. She said, you broke your shoulder in the past, about 6 months ago, didn't you? And the guy said, yeah. He says, oh, you also have this bowel condition. He said, yes. I said, wait a second. I went over and I looked into this gal's microscope. What are you doing? And there was the picture of the bowel in there. There was the picture of the broken shoulder. I broke out in hives. I just got so shook. And she could tell things that were absolutely amazing. She can tell you what happened at any time in your life. How she learned, I don't know. We traced it to a seventh grade education. She was a sociopath, frankly. She told me she was in Germany, and
she worked on the Pope's children.
She worked on the Pope's children, and she worked on
Pope has children.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the Pope's children has children. She worked on some top person in Russia. And they sent to Castro, had lung cancer, she said. They sent to Castro. She cured Castro's lung cancer. We don't know of any truth to that. And Castro got her into the United States. That was her story. So she had wild stories, no background that we can find on her, who the heck she was. But she did things unbelievable, what she taught me.
And Dad's a skeptic, so it took him about a year to believe what she was actually doing.
Mm-hmm. Doc, I know homeopathy, you're way back in that, and we know that this, we know it works, but it seems to me that after all these years, the biggest challenge is to find a homeopath that really can figure out what the what remedy works. You know,
Yeah,
so how did you figure out the remedies for your patients?
Well, classic homeopathy is too tight on that. So I'm looking more at, when I look at the blood, what's the best thing for the liver? What's the best thing for the kidneys? There's ways to clean the blood, and if there's no life force in the blood, there's ways to open it up. So the blood tells me where to go after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's really simple, but that tells you, because people come in with 10 different problems. You know, you look at their major concerns and how the blood relates to that, how the physical body relates to that. And it's really simple, because the physical body, once you start to see the shape, the importance of the structure of the physical body, it becomes simpler and simpler to fix.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the body has kind of something in mind of which issue it wants to heal next? There's an order to it?
Yeah, that's without question.
Yeah.
And it's very important. When you treat a person, you've got to peel the onion layer down, which is the most important now. And there's ways that we test for it. You know, it may have three or four scars, but we test to see which is the most important. And how fast we do. There are six stages to disease in homotoxicology. Depending on what your stage is how fast I can treat you. And you treat a person, like I said, below their aggravation point. You don't want to push their buttons.
And it's definitely, Patrick, it's that peeling back the onion layers.
Yeah.
So the way the homotoxicology experience works is, let's say you sweat. You sweat a lot, and that's gross, so you don't want to do that. Well, the body's trying to excrete something. So, you know, people do antiperspirant. Well, now the sweat is not getting out, so you've pushed it deeper into the body. Now all of a sudden you have acne. Well, the body's trying to get it out. This is inflammation. Inflammation is how we heal. Trapped inflammation, though, is when we get sick. So you take something for your acne, now you've pushed this deeper into the body. Now let's say you have bronchitis. So we'll do something for that. Then once you're on your third pharmaceutical, you cross this biological division where things get harder to deal with. But the healing crisis is, we look at that bronchitis experience and we start to address that, and then the next thing you know, all of a sudden your acne comes back. You go back through what you came through to get there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So we peel back the layers. The blood shows us what the body's concerned about now. As we address it, the image, the hologram will go away, and typically something else will show up until we get boring blood. When we get boring blood, all is well.
That's what you want. Doctor, do you think ongoing sweating with saunas are good?
Yeah, but you got to drink the water.
Yeah,
you
got to drink plenty of water, yeah.
Yeah, we have fire, air, water, earth, and metal is five ingredients for the human. So, yeah, sauna cleans you up, but drink the water.
Do you have
drink
any tips on getting the body better hydrated with certain kind of waters or structure, anything like that?
The water's plain water is fine, and the structure, everything is the structure. Disease cannot exist where there are no obstructions. So the structure is good. Yoga and Tai Chi are divine exercises. See your chiropractor or osteopath. The only elective surgery I agree to is an autopsy.
Autopsy.
Yeah, it's a cut with a knife. They take your tonsils out when you're 5 years old. Well, the tonsils are a drain. As you're teething, the tonsils get bigger.
Are we dealing with little scars? Excuse me. When we get vaccinated, the kids?
No.
No.
No. That's not bad. I think we're over vaccinating things.
Sure.
There's a lot. You know, in France, in Netherlands, if someone gets the measles, they bring in the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
And 1 out of 10 will get it. The other 9 will get immune. We do so many ones. The MMR vaccine, there's a definite autism rate with that.
Yeah.
I tell people if they're going to get that, do it separately. Get the MMR, all separate ones, and you don't get the problem.
That's the thing is, vaccinations are actually homeopathic in principle, but children get so many at such a young age,
yeah.
Sometimes it's really hard for the system to deal with that.
Sure.
So if things were out a little bit, it would change things.
An emailer wants to know, do you have any experience if cell salts are effective for the body, using cell salts?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't do that, but if she has a physician who knows how to play with cell salts, yes, they are.
Yes,
they're
they are.
Very important.
Here's a final one. It's a fitting way to end because I'm sure people are asking this question. Here's Robert. How affordable is your blood diagnosis? I'm very interested. Can you give kind of a overall treatment plan and things like that, how it would work if we contact you?
Okay. The blood slide, you send it overnight. It's a simple little thing. It's a tiny little pin stick.
$350, but you have to be a member of our association,
okay.
Which you can do on our website.
Okay.
The thing is, we don't discuss things with the public very much anymore. Because we're not totally free, you know, in the United States to do that.
Mm.
But if you join the association for $29, it's a lifetime membership. We're about to put up our private member page again, too, where we have Qigong videos and guided meditations and a lot of blogs and videos with Dad. But then you have the opportunity to talk with him and for him to educate you. The consult is $350. We send out the slide kits everywhere in the world. And then you get it back to us overnight, and we can basically, we'll send you the images from the blood, we'll read it, we will get you on the phone, and we will educate you. We'll answer your question, and ideally guide you, educate you, you know, towards someone that can help you with that experience.
That'd be money.
And a follow-up slide, after that I want a slide, and the follow-up slides are $250.
Oh, you want to follow
and then
up?
Once I got it, maybe once a month to once every 3 months, you send me a slide.
Well, and we would like to do... These days, as we don't have the cancer clinics open anymore, Josh and I especially are really trying to educate on wellness. So the reality is people shouldn't wait till they have an issue just to see what's going on. And we all have, you know, intuitions about ourselves. I think my knee is related to my neck.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we validate most of the time what people think. And to take one drop of blood, look inside, and really see what's going on with your body is one of the best things you can do. You become very aware of what's really going on.
Then
you can start.
Website is thebeaglesonmethod.com. Well, you know, I just think about you sometime and all what you've gone through with the whole, the gov and the courts and the attorneys, and my goodness.
By the way, the latest thing?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I was working as an assistant to a naturopath. And some dentist didn't like what I was saying. They came in and confiscated my microscope, and the wouldn't give it back to me, and the DA held it for a year. Aren't we innocent until proven guilty?
I thought so.
And a microscope is not a dangerous piece of equipment.
Right.
You ever get it as evidence.
Have you ever got it back? Have you ever got it back?
A year later.
Yeah,
we did. Yes, we did.
Wow. So how did you stay How did you stay well through all this? You must have some real strong spiritual grit, you know, to
well, we went bankrupt.
Yeah,
he didn't stay very well. He's actually still recovering.
Yeah.
Dad's working right now on having fun again. You know, I think he's really feeling pretty good at the fact that Josh and I and our sister Lila are carrying this work on.
Wow.
You know, so he can relax a little. When the clinic got shut down, it was actually one of the best things that could have happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, Dad was the rat in the wheel. You know, sometimes you squash something and it explodes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Josh and I, we were in England a couple times already teaching. We've been doing stuff in Mexico. We're just moving up to the Seattle area because the response has been just out of control. We're about to hopefully go to Atlanta and Nashville. And the reality is we'll go travel anywhere to spread the work.
Mm-hmm. Is the United States still, I mean, what would be the freest country to do what you want to do without getting into trouble? Do you guys have any idea?
Probably anywhere but here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good question. You know, we've done a lot in Mexico, and Mexico is great right now. There's a lot of medical tourism,
mm-hmm.
so the Mexican government is making sure good things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just across the border in Tijuana, there's amazing things going on. There's a clinic we worked at where we've had three people go down there and get stem cells injected either directly into their eyeball or behind their eye.
Wow.
And these are people that are blind, and they have been able to see light and color within a day or two.
Wow. Yeah, I know that there's even some good, really good dentists that know what they're doing. I mean, really know what they're doing in Mexico
clinic?
For about half the price because of the whole economy.
Yeah. Oh, there's a clinic we work with sometimes, and it's a Hal Huggins dental clinic.
Uh-huh.
Hal Huggins trained those dentists himself, and it's amazing. They've got IVs and PRPs going as you're doing it. It's all natural material, and it's probably a third of the cost. And they will actually pick you up in San Diego and drive you there and take you back.
Ah, cool. So folks could get the name of that if they contact you?
Yeah, they got it. You know, there's only so much we tell people unless you become a member.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Before they get stem cells, I think they need to be opened up. Open the scars up, open the blocks up, then get the stem cells.
Yeah. All right, Adam, Harvey Beagleson, we really appreciate your work, and I'm glad we finally put this together, Adam, and we'll be in touch. Yes. The website is thebeaglesonmethod.com. Harvey and Adam Beagleson. Good work, guys. Just keep at it. Keep breathing.
Hey, thank you, Patrick. You're doing great things yourself. And remember, everybody, go get 10 minutes of joy today. You've earned it.
Okay. See you all. Take care. Have a nice day.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Wow, man. Take a look at some of these pictures on thebeaglesonmethod.com. Wow. Just amazing.
Well,
okay, we're going to do a little open phones tomorrow. I've got some fun things to talk about. Yeah, Pitbull Karma, Cell Salts experiences. Oh, I'm becoming a pressure cooker guy. I'm going to talk about lechens. We call them lechens. A friend of mine calls them lechens. I think that's a great name, lechens. I love you all very much. Thanks to Lynn for taking notes for us. It's an honor to be here every morning. Open Phone Friday tomorrow. I'm on my own tomorrow, so you guys are going to come in and save me. And I love you guys.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is 1RadioNetwork.com.